Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Ali LaRouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to another episode of Ali LaRouge, your fun-packed podcast for Blood Red. Thanks to Ella, and Kaylee, Neil and Ed, who stood in for me while I was away a couple of weeks ago. In this episode, we're joined by Kieran Molyneux, been on before, John Coleman, the Accrington Stanley manager, who's been on before. And when they're making his debut is Michael Potter.
Hello.
The distinguished Michael Potter. Well, lads, we've made a decent start, 10 out of 12 points. John, has that surprised you because of all the, you know, all the upset in the summer when people say, oh, we're going for Bellingham, then we're not, then we're Caicedo and Lavia. It was all a bit of a downer before the season started, but doing well, haven't we?
Well, I think they got a couple of midfielders that they really wanted as well. You know, a good start against Chelsea, and you're thinking that, you know, you're going to kick on and probably win that game, and then in the end, you're desperately settling for the points.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Newcastle game, you know, you can have your own opinions about that, about the centre-half, but you know, to win that game, I think that has massive. Really galvanised, and that's like getting a shot of adrenaline in both arms. And then the Villa game, everyone was saying that was going to be a trappy game because they've looked quite decent with some of the signings they've made, and you know, they dismantled Everton quite easily.
Well, they only scored in the last few minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, but you know, scoring so early against them.
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing some of the class that we've got to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, with the new signings, so it's really good.
Yeah.
I don't think people were responding though before the season.
Well, they were on Twitter.
Well, yeah. I'm not a Twitter-holic. I don't follow social media, but I was excited.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of been brought out, and what we needed was energy in that middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got it. I mean, the way they've hit the ground running, I don't think anyone expected that.
No.
It's sensational, the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, the midfield, it's totally transformed, aren't they? And I think, you know, if you look, I mean, obviously, we want to sort of maybe keep Fabinho or Henderson or one of them at least, but it seems to have took away a few problems from Klopp, doesn't it? I mean, Szoboszlai and McAllister, they're just, you know, they're on fire, aren't they?
Yeah. The only problem is, sorry, I can't pronounce his name. He's got to call him Bozo. Well, they've got to come up with a good name.
Szoboszlai, mate. Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai, I think it is. Is it? Szoboszlai, I think it's the official one, but I think the concerns came around the fact that they hadn't planned to lose Henderson and Fabinho. I mean, if we were planning on selling them, we'd have said to the Arsenal on the last day of the season, with Chamberlain and Keita, etc. So I think that was where the worry was coming from. We hadn't planned to lose an old midfielder, and we hadn't planned to lose the captain.
Yeah.
But, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're going in, we're bidding for people, and they accept it, but the player doesn't want to come, and it's a little bit like, what's going on here? So that's what I think of where the concerns come from. But when the window's shut, albeit a defender, I was absolutely made up with it, to be honest. I think, and it's, you've seen it in the first three or four games, we've seen fresh, we get the ball, yeah, we turn, we cover 10, 15 yards straight away. And like I say, that Szoboszlai is, he's
the Hungarian fella.
He's
Dominic, we like to call him.
Tom.
Tom.
His energy is amazing. That's what we're missing.
Yeah.
You know, I think what they have missed is pace in midfield.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has got that. And, you know, against Aston Villa,
Yeah.
Darwin Nunes looked like a rejuvenated player.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether
yeah.
that's from the, you know, the scoring the goals against Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
But his pace and his energy, that's probably his
best. He could have had a hat trick, couldn't he?
He was fantastic. Yeah. He was unplayable.
Yeah.
And when you get into that mold, when you get forwards playing like that, he's the only win games because yeah. the teams can't handle him.
Yeah, and Diaz is looking sharp as well, isn't he? He's looking like...
Well, it just begs the question, did he consider the Salah thing, you know, because of how well all the other forwards have looked?
Yeah.
Was it considered? But, you know, Salah's been getting amongst the goals as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think the club, I don't know what the club think, but basically, you know, I'm quite happy that he stayed, you know, and then... You know, if he wants to go next summer, I mean, I think that's the end game, isn't it?
Well, because it was so late in the day, I mean, best one in the world, it doesn't do any Liverpool fan any good and there's 200 million sitting in the bank, does it?
Doesn't go on half, I think.
Doesn't excite you. So you'd sooner have Salah than 200 million sitting in the bank, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It was the fact that there was going to be no other option. You'd already have a nightmare at midfield as late in the game to take... Yeah. £200 million and not be able to spend it. So as a fan, it doesn't go in my pocket. It doesn't balance my books. I'd rather have the best winger possible. And I don't think if you'd have sold him on the last day, you would have got anyone close to Salah. And the objective is to win something, isn't it? So
yeah, but there was speculation, wasn't there? But I don't think many fans took it seriously, did they? Because you know, Klopp kept on saying.
I think it was the way Klopp had dismissed it.
Yeah.
Quite routinely, a matter of factly, that it wasn't happening. Then
but
it still hasn't gone away, has it?
No, I don't think it will. I think he's a massive, massive star.
He's an icon.
I remember going to the Club World Cup in Qatar, and in the grounds, there were sections of the ground that were just like Egyptian fans or Salah fans, and they had their own songs for him in Arabic. Mm-hmm. And he was a superstar, like Ronaldo or Messi type of thing, you know what I mean? Like after the game, staying just to watch him do a lap of honour and all that, it was massive. So I do think it's inevitable, given the money. They're going to make him one of the richest footballers of all time. Like, so he's obviously got his eye on it. But for Liverpool...
He will be back, there's no doubt about it, isn't there? Which whether they're back in January and that, but you've got the AFCON of me in February.
We've got to start looking for a replacement now. If it comes in next summer... And then you're struggling, you're putting bids in, you don't know where to look, where to put the money. That's going to be a problem. And you know it's not going away. You probably need to start looking beyond it now and probably keep him as long as possible. I'll keep him to the end of the deal if it could. Probably makes sense financially for them in next summer if they're going to get
I'd like him, as a fan, to just sell us to say something. Why doesn't he say something? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's sort of hired behind their agents, but...
I'm just saying I'm happy at Liverpool. I'm having a great time, but I think silence is deafening, isn't it? But I think he signed the deal, didn't he, as well, that's probably his way of saying that, and inch to the main, and that's probably him going to not rock the boat in the sense if he comes out and jeopardises a move to Saudi, then he might lose out on that massive pay packet one day. He's only 31, isn't he?
He's fit as a fiddly, he's not even, he's one of those players who looks like he's just waiting to sign, but like John Coleman, but he looks like he can play till he's 36 at the top levels, doesn't he, benches minis every day, doesn't he? Benches minis every day. He's in some shape, like I say, so he's not out of a situation where his legs are gone and he can't do it. Liverpool, he needs to get out quick and get the move while he can. He's got plenty left.
I
mean, we didn't get the centre half because Liverpool mustn't have seen it as a priority, or Klopp mustn't have seen it as a priority. But there were a few occasions against Villa where we were opened up quite easily, weren't we?
The problems that we had last year and the season before aren't going away.
Yeah,
they're not going away anytime soon. And you know, whether we get back to the adage of defend from the front and even attacking. You don't have to defend that much if you keep teams pinned in.
Yeah.
We've pinned quite a few teams in now quite readily for long periods.
Yeah.
And so you can get away with that, you know what I mean? Gomez looked accomplished. I know he slipped over and he had a chance, but he looked accomplished in the game. So
you go back to the Newcastle game, that second half performance was incredible.
Yeah.
One of the best performances I've seen.
Yeah.
We had no Van Dijk then.
Yeah.
No.
You know, Gomez come on. the guy who can't remember his name, he played good in the middle.
It's the injuries as well. Yeah, we know some of these players like Matip and Coles.
That's the problem.
How
I
many
think,
games
you know,
do you play on average a year? So yeah.
It's not well, just the fact seems to be injured.
And he's another one as well. Yeah. Yeah, his injury record's not great. So it's not just the fact that some of them are, you know, ability-wise, might be questioning how long they've got left. It's the fact they don't play many games each season. Yeah. And we need someone who's going to come in and, you know, be a solid defender.
Klopp must think, you know, well, being told Endo can play centre-half as well. But this, Kansai, is it? The youngster?
Mm. Oh, his brother played for me.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Yeah.
His brother's a support.
Good player, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was on loan at Preston Rovers last year and he had a good loan last year.
Yeah.
And there he was. Klopp
must have seen him and thought, I've got confidence in him, because he threw him on, didn't he? And like,
he just looked all right as well.
Yeah. In terms of the extra match ban that Van Dijk got, do you think? You know, that was inevitable, wasn't it?
Well, they were going to make an example of him. Yeah. I'm surprised there was only one.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought the same, John. Because you see the way his reaction. Mm. You know, when you give the left a right mouthful to me, so.
Yeah. Well, it looked like he wasn't going to leave the pitch for a while. No,
he didn't.
We've all been there, haven't we?
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
He was trying to make an example out of it. But for me, obviously I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm biased in this situation, but it's the consistency. You see players doing this on a weekly basis, happens.
Yeah.
One of the officials tried to elbow our left back and he didn't miss a game. So it's why is it Van Dijk making an example, but why are Liverpool making an example?
I think that Liverpool Newcastle game, the big game early in the season. A lot of focus on the ref.
Yeah.
And so this new disciplinary code in relation to players, you know, mounting off to the
left. One of the problems that we've got now, and we're in council every single week, is they brought it in last year and they've enhanced it this year with this higher threshold for fouls. And what you get is you get referees letting a couple go that aren't fouls, and then they let a blatant one go that is a foul because they've just let two go.
Yeah.
And so consequently, nobody knows what a foul is now. Nobody knows what you can get away with or what you can't get away with.
Yeah.
You can have the most innocuous foul being given, and then you can have someone getting chopped in the knee, and that doesn't get given either.
Yeah.
And this on Sky Sports and reviewing it and making a big thing out of referees. They're playing to cameras. They're playing to. I said it against in the Newcastle game with the decision early on with Trent. It's a foul on Trent, and then obviously
every
week. And then the situation that happens with Trent a couple of minutes later, where he pushes Gordon and he could go. We could get sent off there, all because the referee decided to interpret rules in his way.
It was on a whim.
Yeah, exactly. But like every week, you've got referees interpreting rules in their way to put on all their show to make the game there.
The mad thing about that was it happened right in front of the fourth official, and the fourth official's calling down a Mike foul. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a little bit of stubbornness that, you know, I'm not going to give a foul. Everybody in the ground can see it's a foul.
Yeah.
But he wants to go with this high threshold.
Yeah.
Just give the fouls. And referees have got to get back to give them what they see. Not hiding behind VAR.
Yeah,
not hiding behind this threshold. A foul's a foul. A foul's always been a foul. It's not a foul.
Yeah.
And you can readily see when players dive. You know, the biggest indicator of anyone diving is when they bend both their knees. Because when you get brought down, you haven't got time to bend both your knees. So if you bend both your knees, you know what you're doing.
Thought about it.
You're going down when you don't have to go down.
Yeah. Looking back to the to that Newcastle incident, Gordon threw the ball away a few minutes later.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've always said. Yeah. I mean, it's about consistency, isn't it? It's about consistency. Luckily, in Ange Villa, there was no real controversial decisions, was there? But
He still went to VAR after the first goal, and he was a week on side one.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. Something needs to do. Even the back to the Newcastle game, the Van Dijk the sending off. Now, when you watch the replay, he does catch his leg.
But it only clipped him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He has the
card out straight away. Now, if the situation arises where it's last man or it leads to a goal, you shouldn't be getting the card, and it's going to be reviewed, you shouldn't be getting the card out until it's reviewed, in my opinion, because as soon as that car comes out and it goes to Stockley Park, they're now trying to justify the mate who might be officiating for them at VAR next week. It's trying to justify this
in the penalty area. That's a penalty, isn't it? And a yellow, because it's outside the penalty
area.
It's a goal scoring opportunity. That's why it's a
red. The question is that, you know, has he caught him hard enough to bring him down? I think not. It's the very faintest of clips. Yeah, gone through and won the ball.
I thought he won the ball.
Do the question though. He did win the ball, but he's just clipped him very slightly on the way through. But the question is, he's got wrong side and he just don't make the challenge.
Didn't have to
make the challenge because he could run down the side with him. He's not getting the shot off him.
Well, in the last few games, we haven't really missed Jordan Henderson, but for some reason, Jordan took it on himself to do an interview with The Athletic when he didn't really have to say anything, did he? I mean, it was yesterday's news, wasn't it, really? It was, it was chip paper, wasn't it? But, I mean, why do you think he's doing
that? That's the point of that, I thought. It was like a case of Jordan who, really? Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
In the sense that the way we were playing...
Yeah. No one was thinking of Jordan Henderson.
No one was wondering what Jordan Henderson is thinking.
I think he's been a little bit hurt by the...
Because
he had a decent guy. Because he has stood up for
LGBT.
LGBT. Yeah. But he stood up vehemently, hasn't he? So, and then, I think he's seeing it, people are seeing it two ways. They're saying, well, you're throwing it back in our face, and he's saying, well, you're just dismissing all the good I've done for you there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So I think he was hurt by it more than anything.
But it was a Prince Andrew moment, wasn't it? If you look at the interview,
there is something to gain on his part, and it's probably a testimonial one day in returning to Anfield without controversy, and I think he's got one eye on that. And I think if he said nothing, it'll always be he went for the money. The last talk about it was he upset this group of fans and he went out to Saudi for the money. Whereas I think it's a PR thing on his part to try and repair relations back in the club, as you say, because he has been a little bit
airfired. It's had the opposite effect.
I don't think he did, because he said, if one person on Liverpool would ask me to stay at the state. So he's sort of like dissing Liverpool in that.
There was an article from Jürgen, a quote from Jürgen 2 weeks before saying he wanted him to stay in the BBC article.
Yeah, but... Is that the truth? We don't know, do we? I mean, obviously he didn't feel wanted, did he?
He made some mad comments about Qatar in that as well, which is completely different regime. And he said something about he spoke, there were stories about the workers who died. When he went out there and spoke to the workers, they were all like,
but I didn't see anyone dying, so everything. Whoever advised him to do it, he's got the wrong advisors around him because it was, it was pointless doing it because it
all comes down. If he put a statement out saying a massive financial offer came in which was too big to not look at, spoke to my family, spoke to the manager, was told me game time was going to be less, and decided to take the offer, don't think many people would have said much about it. I think he would have just got put to bed and he would have been allowed to move on, really. But the fact that he's making these statements and these comments...
It's not so much the money in that. It's the old thing about how much he stood up for that movement and how much that is looked upon detrimentally over there. So that's the only thing. If that was any other player who hadn't stood up, that nothing had been said, really. I don't think, anyway. I just think one of the things that maybe prompted him to was that he was going to be in a spotlight with England money, with the international break.
Maybe.
And so he was the only Saudi player who was playing for England.
Yeah.
Players playing in Saudi who was going to play for England. So maybe I think from that point, he thinks, well, I'm going to get the heat here anyway. I might as well try and beat it.
I think what he said, John, is right. He was here and he wanted to sort of bite back.
Someone told me off the record, by the way, that Liverpool had agreed a fee before even Jordan Henderson even heard about it, and I believe that because that's him saying didn't feel wanted. Liverpool said, the team have been in touch with the club and said, is he available? Yeah, at the right price. That's what I got told. Instead of saying no, he's not available. So what it's like. Football business,
but it's ruthless. Everybody is available at the right place, aren't they? You're not telling me that if they'd offered $1 billion for Salah, he wouldn't have been sold because he wouldn't. So everyone's got the price.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Endo now, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, he's the Japanese captain, isn't he? And we've got to give him a chance, haven't we? Everyone, people are writing him off.
Oh, he played good at the Newcastle game.
Yeah,
that's second half.
best performances I've seen for a while.
Yeah. I've always said
when we're in the market for the number one defender or the number one midfielder and one striker, if that's not available, then we should look at who the third option is and the fourth option is and how long they've got left on the contract. And this was a situation where we wanted a Caicedo, we were in for Lavia.
Yeah.
And that wasn't happening. Well, we needed to get somebody in. It was obviously a smart bit of business, versatile.
Yeah, yeah.
He was obviously, he'd got experience in leading teams, etc. That's the type of player Klopp likes. So it seemed to be a smart move, not much dog, do you know what I mean? So,
cult hero.
Cult hero.
Only, that's stuck, could be the Joey Jones, couldn't
easily
he?
Easily pronounceable name. Yeah.
Great for
major factor.
Great for songs.
The thing is,
you've seen glimpses of him.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what he's like.
Mm. I didn't know much about him before we signed him. I seen him at the World Cup, I've seen Japan, they looked half smart, but I didn't know much about him at all.
Yeah.
But he's here now.
And you got to trust the manager. If he thinks, he'll have him.
I focus more on the lower league, so. Mm. But I haven't seen Gravenberch play, so.
No.
I wouldn't know what he was like, so.
No. That one was at the radar almost, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Because of in the past, because Caicedo was the headlines and Lavia, but Gravenberch, he was rated as a top young player, wasn't he? And obviously, it didn't work out at Bayern, but that could be just because of the way Tuchel played. It doesn't suit his style.
When you look back at the Caicedo saga, you'd have to think that was like manoeuvring money, because getting the fee accepted.
Yeah.
When they knew we wanted to go to Chelsea anyway, so I think that was just a little bit of tactical manoeuvring and not manipulate the market, but they actually backed Chelsea into a corner where they had to move someone else.
Yeah.
To get him in for the financial fair play, didn't they? So,
yeah.
You know what? I think possibly. They were a little bit upset with you, the fella from Southampton, and it all got to a bit of flexing your muscles and we'll go on anyway, we want to be like that, we'll do on the party. And sometimes you've got to do that, I think.
Mm.
Been linked with him for a little while, though, haven't we?
We've been linked with him
for a few windows. Yeah.
I don't know much about him, really.
But I do know we've been linked with him a few times. Yeah. So. I don't know whether it's a situation of whether we were priced out early or whether it was Brian wouldn't do business and then later on that's changed. I don't know.
Can he play centre half?
I just wondered what position this leaves Thiago. He was talking about Besiktas being keen on him and their window shuts tomorrow.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
I think Thiago's days are numbered, aren't he?
Though
I love watching him as a footballer.
But no one's even considered him being in the options. Being in the equation now, is he?
No.
Another one injury record, isn't it?
Pace in the midfield now, I think it just. When he's on the ball, he's fantastic. But
availability means just as much as ability sometimes, doesn't it? If you're not available, then.
So we had the international break, and everyone enjoyed the international break?
I didn't.
No, but you played, didn't you, on Saturday? Yeah.
No, but, I mean, if you... It's the scenario that we don't like, is it? Coming back from the international break and playing at 12:30 on BT.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well,
well, it is, isn't it? You know what? If you look at the stats, when we've played R12 on BT, we very, very rarely win. Very rarely win.
Yeah, last season Liverpool won none of their 12 dirty kickoffs. They drew three and lost three, but five of them were away from home.
Surely Wolves.
You know, Wolves, with the momentum we've got, with the new midfield, with the enthusiasm, fingers crossed there's no injuries. But the South Americans are only... come back today, haven't they? So maybe that.
How many is that going to feature? That might only be the goalie, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we'd be surprised at the lineup, But Klopp's done this in the past, hasn't he? We've been surprised at the lineup.
Yeah.
And they've won important matches, so you just got to trust them. But that half 12 is the banana skin, isn't it? Wolves.
But it's an easiest banana skin, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well,
the worst ones we could have got, really.
Wolves beat us 3-0 last season, didn't they? At Molineux. And that was one of the, you know, there was a few bad results, wasn't there? But there's the Brighton one, and, but Wolves was in that. But, you know, it's a different team now, isn't it? It's a different team, and, you know.
Well, it is. You know, the thing about this team now is I think they've got goals in them. They're going to make chances. They idled through the last half an hour against Villa. And I think, you know, we did pretty similar to what we did against Tottenham when we had 3-0 against Tottenham. I think you've got to put teams to bed.
I mean, Wolves have seen him at Old Trafford against United, and he played great, didn't he? And they could, you know, they could.
And as you said, a factor, I never thought of that with the internationals going back, you know, the South Americans.
Yeah. But I think
like the Luis Suarez look, oh, you want to play. I don't think Liverpool will be taking it like it's an easy game.
No, they won't. But Wolves have lost 3 out of 4. They've only beaten Everton, and that was last few minutes goal, wasn't it? So they're in, you know, I think they'll try and play it as like we'll keep it tight, won't they? Which might play into our hands.
That's
a sad
entitlement, that.
Yeah, but that's what they'll do, won't they?
I can't only see beating Everton. Only beating Everton.
John Coleman said that.
It's not easy to go to
Hudson,
isn't it?
No, yeah, but what I mean is, if you know, it's one of them, and if they've lost three, they've lost three and beaten Evan. But you know, I think they'll be thinking they want to get points on the board, don't they? You know,
I think they've got to treat every game like it's a really challenging game, and I don't think we did that last year.
I think sure that you keep up with City, we can, you know.
Yeah, but that started last season, the first game of the season, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, full.
Yeah,
it was off from the first day last year, and I don't just mean the players. We were the same. The fans were the same. Everyone was flat. Nobody was.
But if you think about it, that happened the last 5 or 6 games of the previous season when we were going for the quadruple.
We lost a bit of momentum, didn't we?
We did. You know, and so the signs were there before the opening day.
But this feels like 3.0, doesn't it? Like 2.0, sorry, Klopp 2.0, like the team. Last year it just didn't get going, and just the feeling weren't there. But as you say now, the energy in the midfield.
It's like a couple of few years ago,
I think
the priority this season is just cement top four.
Yeah.
And then if you can have a tilt at the title, you have a tilt at the title, but we've got to cement top four.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not going to, if you want to, you know, if Mbappe becomes available, he's not going to want to play Liverpool, is he?
No. Yeah. And I said this recently to one of my mates, and even though it might be more realistic a top four finish than a title charge, I think you've got to try and keep up with City every week. And if you aim for the stars, you might reach the ceiling, if you know what I mean by that. And if we start talking about top four now and looking at Newcastle as rivals and teams like that, I mean, it's going to be a long season.
And
your mentality changes, whereas we look fresh, we look energised, we're all up for it. We've got to just every week try and better City's results.
The thing that's sticking in your thought though is United playing in the Champions League, and Liverpool were a better team than United last year.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't perform as well as United.
No.
But you know, he's not beat someone 7-0.
He forgot they were in.
Don't beat someone 7-0.
No.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel. At times they were very good Liverpool last year, but he just seemed to lose the way, and then it was just like one of them bizarre seasons where
can we not mention last season? Can we erase it from our memory banks?
No, what I'm saying is you've got to learn the lessons from it.
Yeah.
You've got to learn the lessons from it, and Kieran's at the nail on the head. We were playing catch up from day one, a game that we should be going to Fulham and winning, given what we've done over the last couple of seasons. So you're playing catch up, that was a body blow, then you lose a couple of games, and before you know where you're at, you're out the title race within the first month.
Yeah.
No, we're not now. Mm. You know, we're still healthily in that. But what you've got to do is you've got to cement that top four.
Yeah.
You cement that top four, and then you've got the promise then that you can get the best players in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Best players in the world still want to come to Liverpool because it's an iconic club.
Yeah.
It's folklore.
Yeah.
It's everything that people want to be involved in.
Yeah.
And so
he's only spending 200 million in the Europa League.
Well, you're not going to be able to.
But you can see how made up Dominic is, can't you? You can see how made up he is. Can't you?
Yeah.
He's absolutely. He's absolutely made up. You know, to play for Liverpool, you can tell, like, you know, he's made up. You were at the kit launch when he came, and you were playing on stage, and Alisson got up on the guitar, but. You know, where Dominic was like backstage there, and had a big smile on his face. You could tell he was going, "This is unbelievable." Yeah. You could tell, and you can see that on the pitch. You know, when he said his debut at Anfield, he was absolutely made up, wasn't he, to play?
Is he probably the only Hungarian in the Premier League?
I'm not too sure, but when I was on holiday a couple of weeks ago, I was talking in a cafe, and this lad came up to me and said, "Oh, are you from Liverpool?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You've got our captain. He is absolutely brilliant." You know, a Hungarian, he's from Budapest.
It's not
Mendy. He is unbelievable. You know, you haven't seen him yet. You know, but he's. Oh, well, I've seen him, and I'm already convinced.
Yeah, I'm honest to God. I've been raving about him every few hours, I think, since he last played.
Give us the correct pronunciation.
I forgot it now. I say Szoboszlai, but I don't think it is. Is it Szoboszlai?
Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai.
S and a B or S and a Z?
I say Szoboszlai.
So, anyway, we've won. 12 of our last 13 games against Wolves, and when they beat us last year 3-0, that ended a run of six consecutive home defeats to Liverpool. So you know, it's a ground that we can get a result.
Do you remember the famous title winner?
Yeah,
I was on the pitch.
76.
Steve Kinnan scored for them.
We got beat 1-0 to the last to a fair club. Come on. 10-15 minutes. Anyway, we've got Michael Oliver in charge. He's one of the better ones, isn't he? Do you think? John is making a gesture which we cannot repeat.
He is. He's recognised as the best, and he is the best.
Yeah.
But sometimes they get carried away with themselves. So I'll give you an example. We had a referee last week who he's been stood down for last 2 weeks because he made four major decisions, got them all wrong for us against Notts County. That could have been the difference between, I mean, we're 15 now, we would have been top if we'd have beat Notts County, so that's how quickly it can change. But apparently he'd had a really good start to the season. So you just worry that referees who know the good tend to just not get blasé, but get overconfident in...
A bit arrogance.
Not so much arrogance either. But you just get overconfident in the decision making that you think they've got the feel for it being right all the while, and then all of a sudden one mistake becomes two mistakes, becomes three mistakes, and before you know you've missed the boat with your game.
Yeah.
And then they go back and they analyse, you know. So you know, people have this impression about referees that they're all, you know, they're all wrongings, and there's this evil plot to ruin the game. It's not. There's no one more disappointing than them when they get it wrong.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way the speed of the game's gone, they're going to get wrong decisions.
Yeah.
I think the fact of the introduction of VAR means that the sort of leaning towards, well, not making a decision because it can always get rectified. And I'd just like to see them. I mean, I think I've told you this before, but when they went to a vote in the league managers, this is going back years ago. I was firmly against it, and one of my reasons I give was that as a football fan, and I still to this day now, I can't celebrate when Liverpool score. So the three goals against Aston Villa, I never moved out of my seat. You know, and you can't celebrate it even when I'm watching on the telly. I can't celebrate a goal because.
What if you do? You like? Oh,
I just think that is what makes football so special, that release of emotion. Now, you can say, well, they're getting it right in rugby, they're getting it right in cricket, but I don't still think there's that emotion attached to them sports that there is to football.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you score as well, I mean, I know myself, when I scored a goal, just the odd one, like, the actual exuberance of running away and celebrating with the fans. And then, you know, you do that now but you need to get some players, they know they've handled it, and they go and still celebrate. Yeah. And they know it's going to get you on top. I don't get it. Yeah. But I feel for the referees, to be honest. And, you know, the better ones,
will always come to the top, and he is the best at the moment. But don't think for one minute that they enjoy making mistakes.
No, of course. But luckily on Saturday we got Paul Tierney on VAR, which I'm sure Jürgen Klopp is celebrating.
I remember Paul,
you know, for a fact it's gonna go to him, don't
but
you?
I remember anything. Paul coming through the lower ranks, you know,
plenty
of times. And, you know, I don't think there's any agendas. I know people can add it up, and you know, you get to feel like that when we all saw the Man City non penalty against Everton that, you know, could have reversed the title.
Yeah.
You know, so and when you see it clearly and then it goes to the upstairs and they still don't get it.
Yeah.
Then you get a little bit worried, but mistakes happen, don't you? Yeah. And they're gonna continue to happen.
I don't necessarily think this is a gender. I just think there's a big, massive problem with incompetence sometimes with the referees. I don't know whether it's a case of the game's too fast and there's too many decisions being made, or they're not making decisions because they know VAR there, or what the problem is. But there just seems to be every single week
making the wrong decision, aren't they? I mean, sometimes they're looking
for
an impossibility, which might be there instead of just giving, like you were saying before, give what you see. Yeah. And VAR,
I'd like to see. I mean, the one thing that you can't argue about VAR is 9 times out of 10, well, probably 99 times out of 100, they get the offside ones right, because there's been loads of contentious offsides over the years. And the goal line technology as well, that's a brilliant thing. But I'd like to see a tweak in the rule where there's got to be daylight, because you know, you're getting players getting caught offside. Because
what was wrong with that?
The laces are off on the boots.
But
it should be at least the feet, shouldn't it? Not the armpit. It should be the feet.
I just think there's got to be daylight between the two, and then you know, everyone wants to see goals. You know, so a lot of the rules that were brought in.
In the 80s,
the attackers always got the advantage, and just trying to see more goals. And I just think you look at free kicks. I mean, it drives me mad the way Liverpool defend free kicks, but they obviously practice it, they're good at it, and they catch people offside very much a lot of the time. Very rare that someone breaks Liverpool's offside, by the way, they're very good at it. But I'd like to, if that daylight rule came in.
Yeah,
it'd be very, very difficult to do that, and I think you would see more goals and more goals standing. And I think that's something that I think the powers that be should
have. Yeah. Right. So we've got the Europa League as well next week, and when you heard the draw, I mean, I was only really to lose. I knew. But John, you knew the others, didn't you?
Well,
are you some sort of quiz expert or something?
No, I mean, Union St. Gilles, is it?
Yeah.
So we took a player on loan who used to play for Brighton and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And they are actually owned by Tony Bloom, I think, or indirectly they're linked to Brighton. So we took a player on loan who played at Chelsea, little Marcel, who's at Burnley now. Little winger, and then they must have been watching him, and then they ended up buying our centre half for $500,000, and he started for him. I think he got to the quarter finals last year.
So Atkinson's centre half is now playing for them. So he'll play against us, really?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. What's his name again?
The team, Ross Sykes.
Alright.
Oh, so he was one of our homegrown players, 6'6" centre half.
Yeah, alright.
Aggressive, scores goals. And then they took.
And was there a fee involved? Like,
yeah, $500,000.
Yeah.
Was he a local lad?
Yeah, he was from Burnley.
Yeah.
And so they took another lad, I can't remember his name, who played for Portsmouth and had gone to Brighton, and he's gone there as a centre half as well.
And McAllister's got a place for him as well?
No, he plays for Toulouse, don't he? I think.
Was he?
No,
he
plays for
Union.
Belgium.
Yeah, Union.
I thought he played for Toulouse.
No, it's Union.
So anyway, they had a decent run last year. I think they played Rangers.
They did.
Yeah, so, and it'll be interesting to see him, you know, come to Anfield and play Anfield.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to the away game.
Some scouting for us, John, you know, a few this year.
It's just too much the Thursday night when we was playing on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
To go to the away game.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
So we got Lask here as next Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah,
Lynn's Athletic Lynn. Sports Club, yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I know about them is the 1920s. There's a fella called Einstein playing for them.
Is there? Yeah.
That is a poor question.
Well, he got involved in mathematics, so they had to get one ahead of him. But no, it's not. But
so it's a 19,000 capacity. So Liverpool get an allocation of just over 1,300, yeah. But the third in the league. I mean, you look at the teams, and it should be fairly straightforward, shouldn't it?
Well, is it the Juniper League? Is it the Belgian League? Is that that's what it's called? Yeah. Is it? And it's a strange thing because you can win the league and not win the league. So it goes into a playoff anyway.
How does it?
So I think the season before last, they actually finished top, but didn't win the league because
they had a playoff.
They had the playoffs, yeah.
Right.
But the only thing for us, you're thinking about the league, is that Thursday.
Yeah, that's the only drawback. Thursday, Sunday, that's a big drawback, isn't it? But yeah, I think fans would be excited to go to all these places. You get bored of going to the same Champions League places, don't you? Porto, don't talk about Porto.
It's always raining as well.
Don't talk about rain and Porto.
Toulouse, I mean, the only thing you know about Toulouse is the strength of the song about Toulouse.
Yeah.
I just, the other rugby team. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, isn't it? But you know, especially what type of team he puts out.
I was about to say that when you talk about Thursday, Sunday, I don't think many players will be playing in the Premier League game the weekend or featured in the group stages. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
For me, from a selfish point of view, it means that I can get to more games
because
they're playing on a Sunday. Yeah. So it's just
Well, we got
suits me.
West Ham at home on the Sunday. And like they've been doing well, haven't they, West Ham?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Made a few good buys.
They had a quarter, hasn't they won?
Yeah, yeah, they've on 10 points, aren't they? Same as us. They're doing well. So, I mean, that's another big test, isn't it, really?
It's a big one for our house because my son in law and my grandson's West Ham fans. So.
Oh, right.
That becomes a big game for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually sat in their house when they won the
Mickey Mouse.
The old Control Confederation.
Yeah.
So I was in their house when they won. It was good.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, I think most football fans were quite happy for West Ham.
Yeah.
Not the London teams, obviously, but most, because you've seen the joy on the fans' faces. It was unbelievable. I mean, we get blasé, don't we? Because we're in European finals all the time, and, you know, we've won so much in Europe. We get a bit blasé, a bit like arrogant, don't we? But you just see what it meant winning that cup, even though it wasn't. You know, it was ridicule the cup, wasn't it? But it's still a cup, isn't it?
I mean, for fans, you go all the time. Porto.
Yeah.
It was getting boring, wasn't it?
Yeah,
for fans, you'd travel, that's all.
Yeah.
Fans are excited to go to different places.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, though, if it was the European Cup final, I wouldn't be happy if West Ham were winning it. Like, I think it was the fact that I don't see that competition as something I want to win, to be honest.
Of course,
if they were in the European Cup.
And you look at the Europa final, it's got our name written all over it, hasn't it?
Lots
of people have booked their flights, haven't
they? Yeah, I won't see that.
You can swim?
Yeah, no, it's just preempted, you know. People have already got hotels and everything, haven't they?
People have.
You know, I've done that a few times and It hasn't worked out. But I mean, you know,
a nice end up.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
you and the other 100,000.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be absolutely, you know, if Liverpool do get there, it's going to be absolute chaos, isn't it? You know.
Well, you think about a few years ago, the idea of Liverpool support, that friendly game, we played Celtic.
Yeah.
We had more fans than Celtic.
In Dublin.
A massive out there.
Yeah. I think one of the problems that you'll have, though, I think Paris, Dermacol will put a lot of people off.
Yeah, they might do, yeah. And did you see what
happened?
With the rugby? In Marseille, there was a Liverpool fan wrote in to the Spirit of Shankly. He's a Liverpool fan, and he said, you know, it was like, it was bad. You know, it was really bad. He only started
that
thinking.
That sort of didn't get a lot of airbrushed that, didn't
they? Didn't, but, you know, I mean, it just shows you that it's chaotic again, you know, so. So things, you know, stay the same, you know, they said they'd learn from that, but, you know, it's, I think after time it's like, you know, they have staff.
This is only the group games as well, yeah. The early games.
They have staff on a minimum wage, they're not motivated, you know, and you could see what the security was like around the Stade de France, you know. It was just chaos, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the problems around the Stade de France was that, when we were at the European Cup farm, was that the police had a preconceived idea.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That, you know, and they went with what they were told rather than what they were seeing.
Yeah.
Well, the police were aggressive in the fan zone, which was nowhere near the ground.
Yeah. I think that's just the way French police
are. The French police are known for an art. Gas out first.
It was, yeah. Gas out. There's no ask questions later. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
As I found to me.
Yes.
It's you get gas as well, but they're being detailed, don't they?
Yeah. We just finish off now. So
it's good that we're talking about finals. I mean, we haven't even entered the competition.
I know, yeah. Well, that's, you know, just imagine. Just imagine fans of other teams listen. Yeah, they arrogant bastards. Listen to them and all that. But you know, that's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way it is, you know. And John, who have you got this weekend?
We've got Sutton, and it's the first time I've ever come across them.
Oh, right.
So I never played against them when I played non-league. I've never managed against them.
Mm.
So they've had a little bit of a quick upsurge into the league. Done really
well. Right. And so you're going to be able to watch the match before...
Yeah, so I watched that in the office.
You watch that in the office, yeah?
In my office.
With the Bill Shankly poster in the office.
Yeah.
Any Accrington fans listening? He's got a Bill Shankly poster here.
We've got a couple of pro fans.
There's a few
Newcastle fans as well. Somewhere.
Yeah.
A couple of Evertonians as well.
Yeah. Okay, you've been listening to Ali LaRouge. Thanks for all our listeners all around the world tuning in. Thanks to all the other Blood Red podcasts. Thanks to Kieran Molyneux, to John Coleman, and Michael Potter making his debut. Well done, Michael.
Yeah,
well
done, Michael. Slotted in.
Slotted in seamlessly.
Like Endo. Thanks very much.
I
got it. Ali LaRouge. See you in a couple of weeks.
You've been listening to the Ali LaRouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel.